You have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me. I want to read from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Part of the Christmas story, one that we could almost quote it from memory. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. They were engaged, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger. And the reason was because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord, not just any angel, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone all around about them. And at first they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy. Joy. Which shall be to all the people." Not just some of the people, but to all the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Would you pray with me? Lord, that you would make known to us the story of this child conceived by the Holy Spirit, raised by Mary and Joseph, who grew up to be a man who proclaimed the kingdom of heaven, and he died for it. He died for telling the truth. He died for our sins to be forgiven. This story reminds us of your love, the love that you have for us that is abounding more and more every day. And so today we come with a smile on our face and joy in our heart. May we sing today like the angels sang in those days. Glory be to God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you see the story. You know it backwards and forwards. There's not much I can add to or take away from this wonderful little story. Caesar Augustus wanted money. Evil always wants money. And he wanted money. He wanted money to feed his army so he could go on campaigns around the world and take their money. He wanted money to pay for that palace he lived in and his servants that fed him day in and day. He wanted money. And so he had the power to make everybody do what he wanted them to do. And so they went to be organized, registered, background checks, whatever you want to call it. But many people like Mary and Joseph had to go out of their way because Caesar wanted money. And so they traveled back to Bethlehem, where obviously the lineage of David is, and Joseph being a part of that. And there we know that they found a place in a stable. We don't know what night it was that they arrived and what night it was that the birth took place, because it says there very clearly that while they were there for a period of time, and then even after the birth, they stayed probably longer because they just couldn't up and travel back. And then, of course, the wise men shows up, and they bring gifts, and they bow down and worship. And then they're warned by another angel, and they go to Egypt to protect Jesus from death. And so we know that story. There was no room for them found in the guest rooms of the village or even in the inn that was there. And so they were found in a stable with animals, and all the smells and all the things that took place there. And the swaddling clothes was the wrapping tightly like a cocoon, which we do to babies when they're first born, to keep them, our arms from flailing and keep them thinking they're still in the womb. That's the swaddling clothes that were clean and pure and white, and they wrapped the baby and they laid him there in the manger. And then all those scenes that go through our minds, like on the video or on television or we've read about or we've seen on cards and everything, all those things took place in one manner or another. Today I want to focus for just a couple of moments on one area of this story that we talk about with a lot of interest. Back in 1975, Billy Graham published this book, Angels, God's Secret Agents. Somebody gave me this because they scratched out the price. And gave me this book way back when. Somebody gave me another one. I read the other one, and in reading it, I marked it up, and subsequently I've lost it, or maybe I gave it away, or somebody borrowed it. But Billy Graham, in the flyleaf of the book, just kind of breaks down what each chapter in the book is all about. He says, we're not alone in this world. And the second thing he says is, angels are real. They're real. They're here. They're part of our life. We go through life and we're so educated, we're so mature, we're so intellectual that we don't believe in angels anymore. We don't think they're real. But angels were sent to us to protect us at times. Angels were sent to us to help us at times. Their powers are beyond our human imagination. What an angel can do, you and I cannot do, and probably will never be able to do, even in heaven. Their presence, their very presence, sometimes shocks us, but they can reassure us that life is okay and there's joy amidst us along the way. Their words can comfort us when we're going through difficult times of crises. And the Bible tells us that angels will execute God's coming final judgment on a lost world one day. Now, I don't believe in angels because Billy Graham said so. I believe in angels because over 300 times in this book, the Bible tells me that an angel showed up, that angels did this, that angels did something else. And by the way, they're demons too. The Bible tells me about them also. You know what the difference is between demons and angels? Well, they both herald a message. They both have something to say. They both want to influence us one way or another. But the angels always come with a message. The word angel from angelos in the Greek is a word that means messenger. Angels, when they arrive, have a message for us to hear. They can't make us obey. By the way, demons can't make you obey them either. It is a choice what we do with the message we hear. Only we can make that decision. As a rule, a couple of thoughts about angels before we move on. First of all, no angel has a prominent role in the history of the world as an evangelist. Many people call Billy Graham an angel, but he was a human, pure human being. He may have preached like an angel, but he was just a man. No man has ever been an angel that was sent by God to proclaim the ongoing gospel message like you and I. Because angels have never sinned. Angels have never felt the separation of pain from God except when those that were in heaven rebelled. They've not experienced that, so they don't understand salvation. Their purpose, God created these magnificent beings for a different reason. And they're in heaven to guard and to proclaim and to worship Him. And from time to time, God uses them to come to the earth to proclaim to us, to influence us, to make God known in special ways. Now, there are some fallen angels. We know the story of Lucifer. I remember in college, and in those days, we had a lot of liberal professors. And I really liked Van Merle. Van Merle was a very likable guy. But one day he came into class, and we were studying the book of John, I believe it was, and he was just all disturbed and upset, and he brought all these books in there to tell us there was no angel named Lucifer who fell from heaven. He spent the entire class telling me that, telling our class that. And yet the Bible makes very clear that's just not necessarily true. Lucifer rebelled. And he took some with him. And they were cast out of heaven. And one day, they'll be judged finally. There's a lot more I could say. In Revelation 14:6, it does say, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven with the everlasting gospel to proclaim to those who live on earth, to every nation, to every tribe, to every language, and to every people." But I can promise you, they can't make you believe. They can only tell the gospel story and reveal it to us. No angel is a prominent role as an evangelist. Secondly, no angel can pastor a local church and No angel can be a pastor of a local church and no pastor is an angel. Let that one sink in. Angels are spiritually minded. We're humanly minded. We have to work at being spiritually minded. Angels do not. And that's a big difference. The angels mentioned in Revelation 1:20, they say the angels of the churches were still not heavenly angels. They were men called of God to pastor churches. Now, isn't it interesting? A couple of these that I want to share with you. Isn't it interesting that the birth announcement of Jesus Christ was sent from heaven by angels and first given to uneducated, untrained, illiterate, dirty, smelly shepherds? Isn't it interesting that the birth announcement of Jesus Christ was not made on social media and Facebook and by network news organizations or across the internet, but by an angel out in the field in the middle of the night, when most people were asleep? Isn't it interesting that the birth announcement of Jesus Christ was not made to kings and queens and princesses and other famous people, but to these insignificant shepherd boys and men working hard just to make a living. Isn't it interesting that the birth announcement of Jesus Christ was not followed up by a gala event with red carpet, lights, cameras, interviews of the crowd standing in line just to get a glimpse of the baby? And isn't it interesting that God himself did not come with a loud speaker and a booming voice to make the announcement, but he sent his angels to make that known to Elizabeth and to Mary and to Joseph, to the shepherds, to the wise men, and to us is born. Angels are important to us. And let me give you a couple of reasons from the scripture. They're important to us in the story of God. They're important to us in our lives, our everyday lives. They're important to us, and we need to listen to them when they speak. And they speak to us in a myriad of ways. Who knows how God, through an angel, has spoken to any one of us at any given time, at any moment of any given day. Revelation 8:2 tells us that there will be seven angels, and they will be given seven trumpets. And the trumpets will be sounded at the terrible day of judgment. That's the scripture. Everyone will be found guilty that day. But those whose lives have been covered by the blood of Christ will be forgiven. It'll be the well done, thou good and faithful servant. Revelation 7:1 says four angels hold the corners of the earth. Nothing can destroy it. Nothing can blow it away. Nothing can take it away. Men have tried to destroy the Jewish nation over and over and over time, years after years after years, and they just can't do it. The church is under attack more today than it's ever been in our lifetime, but it won't go away. Revelation 5:11 tells us that a multitude of angels there in heaven worship God. They're worshiping Him. They're praising Him. They're singing. As wonderful as this will be tonight, This is a warm-up to what will happen when we see Him face to face and we hear the angels sing in person. Revelation 14:10 tells us that angels will be present on the day that God judges the wicked. And the one that's quite interesting to me is found in Revelation 20 verses 1 through 3 where a single angel will bind Satan and his minions and cast them into the abyss for 1,000 years. It's amazing what God uses his angels for. Angels unaware, angels who've protected us, angels who have proclaimed the glory of God. They did that night. And when the voice was heard and the angels broke out into the chorus that they did, the shepherds were moved with compassion and warmth and love and intrigue to go and find this baby, to see what it was that was being talked about. So what was the angel's message that first Christmas morn? Right from the scripture, right from what we read, it was a message of peace. They were sore afraid, this King James says. They were terrified. This was something out of the... You know what it's like to be out at night and you're all alone, or maybe you're with some friends and it's quiet. You might have been around a crackling fire. You might have been camping somewhere. You could have been somewhere out in the woods or located by yourself, and then suddenly you are startled. And there's a streak of fear that just runs from your head to your toe. They were sore afraid. And the angel's first word, as it has been many other times, is fear not. What you're fearing now is of no use, of no good. No, don't wonder about it. It's not going to happen. The message of peace, fear not. Then it was the message of good news. The word tidings is a Greek word that talks about messages. Tidings. Let me tell you some truths, some things. Our Christmas cards are filled with tidings. Tidings, little messages, little stories. Fear not. I've got some little stories. The greatest story ever told, the message of joy. Tidings of great joy. straight from the angels' mouths are the tidings, the words, the love of God, and the message of joy. Joy to the world. Joy to all the earth. Joy to you and me. And joy to everyone. And then it's a message for everyone. He says, to all people, not just to some people, to all people, this joyful message has come. And it's come not like you expected it, but it's come the way God planned it in the birth of a child laid in a manger among the animals outside the inn where there was no room. And then it says, the message says that God has come to you. It's not enough to understand that He's come, but He's come to you. He's come to me. For unto you, this day is born in Bethlehem, a Savior. All those, this child came for you and for me. It's a personal relationship. It's not a symbolic thing. It's not something we've dreamed up in our minds. God came to earth in the form of us, the same way we are, so that we could see Him and know Him and understand Him. God has come to you. And six, God has come here. It said in this case, in the city of David, where the shepherds were. He's come here to this earth to bring peace, goodwill toward all men. He's come here today where two or more are gathered in His name. And He's come to save, because He's come to the city of David and brought a birth of a Savior. The one thing they'd sought for, the Messiah, has come. And the Messiah for us is Jesus Christ. And He's come and He has a name. God has a name. Christ the Lord. The message of Christmas, the Word of God, the truth of salvation, its beginning that leads to its end. There's three stories in this book. There's a lot of stories in this book. But there's three that I point out this morning about angels as they come to influence our life. In Acts chapter 8 is the story of Philip. The angel comes to Philip and says, now Philip, I need you, the Lord wants you to go this way. Remember I said they have an influence on our life. Philip could have said, no, I'm in a hurry. I'm going this way. I don't have time tonight. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe some other time. It's not a convenient moment. I have other things on my mind. But the angel says, no, Philip, I need you, and God wants you going this way. And so he goes, he obeys, and on the trip, he's going down the road, and this Ethiopian eunuch rides on a chariot, and he's reading the Old Testament scroll from Isaiah. And he really doesn't understand what it is. He's looking at it maybe for the very first time. You know what our role is as a church? Is to help people understand for the first time when they read and hear and know this story. And Philip comes alongside, says, do you understand what you're reading there? And he says, how can I understand this unless someone interprets it for me? This is gobbledygook to me. And Philip gets on the chariot, and he explains it all to him, and eventually the man says, well, I need to be baptized right now. I believe. And God needed, through the influence of these angels, to tell Philip to go where he needed to be so that one man and then his family could be saved and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 10. Man named Cornelius. Now this is kind of the flip-flop of the story. Cornelius is a devout man. He's a giving man. He serves. He's a good man. But he's not a believer in Jesus Christ. And the angel of the Lord comes to Cornelius, this lost man, and says, you know who you need to talk to? You need to talk to Peter. Oh no, I'm not talking to that Gentile. Not that man. I'll go to my priest. I'll go to my temple. I'll go to somebody. No, not Peter. No, he doesn't say that. The angel influences him to reach out and call to Peter, and Peter comes, and one thing leads to the next, and he becomes a believer also in the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of these stories were the plan of God from the beginning, and that God used an angel so that they could set in motion the opportunity of salvation for other people. We miss the whole meaning of all of this, and all of this, and all of that, if we don't understand the salvation story. We're here today because of the salvation story. Angels have influenced you. Paul was a prisoner near the end of his life, the end of the book of Acts. He's a prisoner, and they've got him on a journey from where he is going to Rome. He's going to have to go see Caesar. It's not what he wants to do. An angel of the Lord comes to Paul and says, don't worry about it. You must see Caesar. And we can know now that he probably witnessed to him better than any man could ever have witnessed to the mighty Caesar, who had so much control over all of people's lives. An angel influenced him to be calm. Even though he knew they would be shipwrecked, even though he knew they would have heartaches, even though they knew he'd still be under arrest. The Bible says in Acts 28:30-31, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and without hesitation. And that's the last we really know from the Bible of Paul's life. This was God's plan from the beginning, and an angel was used by God to put into motion this wonderful deed. Over and over and over again. Has an angel spoken to you today? Not me. An angel. Has God whispered in your ear any mighty truths of love and forgiveness and kindness and mercy and giving and going and all stuff that God whispers in our ears, sometimes through an angel, sometimes other ways, not for our glory, but for His, so that others might see in us that which they ought to see in us, the Holy Spirit. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works, see your life, experience your heart, and give glory to your fathers in heaven. Let nothing that I do dishonor God, no matter how I feel, no matter what direction I'm going. The angels left those shepherds that night saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It was an angel. Shut the mouth of those lions when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den to be eaten alive. It was an angel that rolled that stone away. Those women could have never rolled that stone away. But you know, the angel didn't roll that stone away for Jesus to get out. He was already gone. That stone was rolled away by the angel so that we could see that our Lord was alive. He was no longer there. That those grave claws were just collapsed. He didn't unwrap it to get out of it. They just collapsed. And the Lord was gone. What about you today? On this eve of Christmas Eve, on just 10 days away, what is God saying to you? How is He speaking to your heart? What is He telling you in your life? Probably glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That brings joy. Even if your light goes out, don't let your joy be stolen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the joyous message of Christmas. For the hallelujah chorus that one day I look forward to hearing the angels sing. Not because I deserve it, is really because I don't deserve it. But because this baby that we celebrate his birth, grew to be your one and only son, who died on a cross, whose blood was shed, that my sins could be forgiven, washed clean. I could be made whole. My life could be restored. We would no longer be separated. It would be personal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the baby and the cradle and the man and the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Angels, we have heard on high. Let's stand and let's sing and let's praise him from our hearts this morning. I don't know how many years ago, maybe 100 years ago, there were a missionary couple down in, I believe, South America. They were in part of the jungle where the natives didn't put up with foreigners at all. And they'd gone there to tell them about Jesus Christ. The missionaries were there because God had sent them. And then they began to learn some customs. They began to learn some language. But they also knew that when the drums began to beat, somebody was going to die. And on a particular evening, out in the jungle, all around this little missionary hut, the drums began to beat. And they beat. And they beat. The missionary couple took out their Bible and got on their knees and they prayed. And they looked at each other and they held hands and said, in a few moments, we're going to die. And all night long, the drums beat. And they beat. Midnight. 2 o'clock. 5 o'clock. And dawn came. And the drums stopped. And the natives went away. Some years went by. One by one, members of that tribe came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when the chieftain made a profession of faith and was baptized, the missionary looked at him, able to speak his language. You remember the night you surrounded our hut? Yes, I do. You remember the drums that beat? I was there. You remember we knew you were coming to kill us? Oh, yes, we were. Why didn't you attack? And the chieftain said, well, where did you get that army that surrounded the house? Angels, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the angels, for what they heralded that night, what they proclaimed today. and what they do for us as they worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.